The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about characteristics of a Muslim wife.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. Straight to you until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Monday, is the 16th of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 19th of day 1401 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar and the 9th of January 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to verse 21 of chapter Ar-Rum, and then we will find its point.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahmah. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Verily, the existence of spouses with special quality, which is the cause of tranquility of their lives, is counted one of the great bounties of Allah, because these two genders are complementary of each other, and each generally causes the mirth, fruitfulness, and development of the other, so that every one of them is imperfect without the other. And it is natural that there should be such an honorable attraction between a being and its complement. From this statement, we can conclude that those who turn away from this Allah's way of treatment have an incomplete life, because one of their developing stages has stopped.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
In the previous episode of today's special, we open a new topic that was characteristics of a Muslim wife. We continue that. Marriage in Islam is encouraged for those who have reached the age of physical and psychological maturity. It should not be unnecessarily delayed if there is a suitable partner available and the means to establish a family. Divorced people, widows and widowers are also encouraged to remarry. Religious celibacy is strongly discouraged. Therefore, although marriage is not a compulsory duty for all people under all circumstances, and due allowances made for those who do not have the capacity for marriage for one reason or other, the emphasis is nevertheless strongly in favor of marriage as the normal adult status. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "Shall I tell you the most precious thing a man can have? It is a righteous wife. When he looks at her, he is pleased. When he tells her to do something, she obeys. And when he is away, she is faithful and loyal to him."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear and sisters around the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show. This is Ali, and inshallah I will be with you with the topic that we are going to pause and discuss. That is the characteristics of a Muslim lady, a Muslim woman. In this show, we try to mention some of the characteristics of that noble lady. Lady Fatima Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a model for all the humanity, men and women. The next characteristic and trait of this great lady of Islam
is her affection with Al-Quran, her closeness to Al-Quran. Lady Fatima's special attention to the Holy Quran throughout her life teaches another lesson to the lovers of this divine book. Sometimes when Imam Ali alayhi salam came home from the mosque and he observed the verses that were revealed to the Prophet a few moments ago are flowing on Fatima's tongues, he was surprised to ask how these verses reached you. Fatima salamu alayhi is to say that your son Hassan recited them to me. I like three things in your world: recitation of the Holy Quran. And she said, and she continued, I like three things in your word. First, recitation of the Holy Quran. Second, looking at the Prophet's face. And third, almsgiving in the way of God.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special, and we learn more about most important characteristics to look for a Muslim wife, that is physical appearance. Yes, while chemistry and attraction are no doubt important, character precedes them both. A famous quote says, chemistry ignites the fire, but character keeps it burning. It is reasonable and important to marry someone who you are attracted to physically. However, this should not be the overriding factor. When you are attracted to someone's heart, you also become attracted to their exterior. We shouldn't be looking for someone who only looks good in photographs but doesn't have the other qualities we should be looking for in a potential Muslim spouse. There should be mutual attraction so that the partner should not try to seek it from others.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
In this part, we look at common rights and responsibilities. One of them is women's obligations. Women have heavy responsibilities towards their husbands, some of which have been indicated in various hadith. All these responsibilities can be epitomized in our phrase, taking good care of one's husband. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has stated, the jihad of a woman is taking good care of her husband. The phrase taking good care of one's husband in this hadith is a concise term. However, it has an extensive meaning and encompasses all virtues. Regarding a woman who takes good care of her husband, it can be said she accepts the supervision and administration of her husband and defends and supports it. She guards her husband's station in the family, and among the children, she consults with him in important issues.
Many people think there's conflict in marriage because there's a conflict between our personalities. That's not the case. Personalities never conflict. As different as they are, personalities are not that which is conflicting. It's the behavior and the attitude and the actions that can be conflicting. Our behaviors conflict with another, not our personalities. So we should not attribute marital conflict and dispute to different personalities. Your personality does not conflict with another one. It's your behavior that runs into conflict. It's your actions, your decisions, how you handle things. So we must keep that in mind. Now, why is there conflict in marriage? There are a number of reasons. Conflict is normal, by the way. It's a normal part of human life. Some level of conflict, some level of dispute is a normal feature of human life. The first reason why there is conflict in marriage is because of selfishness. Most people who are struggling in their marriages and their marriages are failing, you'll find one or two of the spouses is selfish. It goes back to selfishness. We human beings, by nature, we're selfish. We only are concerned about our needs, about our desires, our dreams, our perspective on life. And we expect to take more than we give. This is the root cause of marital conflict. A successful marriage is one in which there is no room for selfishness. When you make that commitment, remove selfishness out of your life. There's no room for selfishness. Many people are selfish in their marriages. They want to be served. It's always their way. They call the shots. They don't care about the needs and the challenges and the circumstances of their spouse. And this creates a number of problems.
That is an important topic to discuss. So inshallah, we follow and learn more about it. So we meet you soon. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam. Here are points to ponder on the dynamics of unity and the pitfalls of discord, as elaborated by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Stick to unity and avoid division, and turning away from each other's help and withholding the hand from one another's assistance.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. This beautiful hadith is about those sins, the punishment of which is hastened in the life of this world. As you know, every sin, you know, is deserving of punishment. It's up to God to forgive that person who has committed that sin or not. And depending on the nature of the sin, you know, if the person has committed repentance or not, has performed repentance, or he has not performed repentance, also the gravity of the sin, as well as whether it is a sin that has social repercussions or no, it's one of those sins that is not connected to the rights of other people. It's one of the acts in which the servant has trampled upon God's right. You know, all of this is something that should be analyzed in its own place. There are sins which the punishment of which, however, is hastened in the life of this world. Right? What are those sins? In this beautiful hadith, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, he explains them. Imam Baqir said that the following is written in the book of Imam Ali. Just by way of parentheses, we can say that it's very famous that the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, during the life of the Holy Prophet, whenever revelation was revealed, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he would write certain things down regarding the verses which were revealed. Like, for example, when it was revealed, under what circumstances it was revealed, when it was revealed. He would write something about the meaning of the verse, the interpretation of the verse, and other things as well surrounding the verses that were revealed. And he did not get time to collect all of this information together in one place. After the demise of the Holy Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's famous that the commander of the faithful, he set a time aside, and he did this, and he gathered this together, and this book became famous as the Book of Ali, or the Book of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he offered to present this book to the Islamic society, to the masses, but unfortunately, for some reasons, we don't have time to get into. The people weren't ready, for this book, and so he kept it to himself. This book was passed down from one imam, alayhi salam, to the other, to the succeeding and subsequent imam, and this is one of those sources of the knowledge of the Aimma alayhi salam. In any case, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that in the Book of Ali alayhi salam, this following was written: the perpetrator of any of the following three misdeeds will not die before seeing their evil consequences in this world. They are intimidation of others, cutting off one's blood relations, two, and taking false oaths, meaning falsely swearing and making an oath, which is false. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at sins that hasten punishment in the life of this world, in the words of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners who are listening to this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. And beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic segments, which will be presented to you. So stay tuned.
Inna
Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Ahmad Shahat Lashin. He is a current Egyptian reciter who was born in 1980 in the city Mansoura, which is located in the north of Egypt. Due to being a close friend of the Egyptian reciter Sheikh Said Abdussamad, his father encouraged him to begin Quran recitation. He started Quran recitation as well as Quran memorization from when he was 6 years old, and then he followed the style of Sheikh Shahat Anwar at the professional level. At the age of 25, he became an international Quran reciter, and he has traveled to Islamic Republic of Iran several times. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Ahmad Shahat Lashin, reciting Surah Al-Duha, as well as verses 1 to 4 of Surah Al-Sharh, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. By the forenoon, and by the night, when it is still, your Lord has neither forsaken you, nor hated you. And indeed, the hereafter is better for you than the present. And verily, your Lord will give you, so that you shall be well pleased. Did he not find you an orphan, and gave you a refuge? And he found you unaware, and guided you. And he found you poor, and made you rich. Therefore, do not treat the orphan with oppression, and do not repulse the beggar, and proclaim the grace of your Lord. In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, have we not opened your breast for you, and removed from you your burden, which weighed down your back, and raised high your fame?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر فحدث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي ورفعنا
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Duha, as well as Surah Al-Sharh, from verse 1 to 4, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Shahad Lashin. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, in terms of maqamat, first let's talk about the maqamat that was used by Sheikh Ahmad Shahat Lashin. He started with maqam rust.
Mm-hmm.
Then he moved on to maqam nahawan. He changed the maqam. We say he modulated from rust to nahawan. Okay, uh-huh. Modulation means changing the maqam from one maqam to another maqam, okay? Mm-hmm. And at the end, when he began reciting Surah Al-Sharh, again he modulated to another maqam, which was maqam Bayati. So he used three maqams in this order, Rast, Nahawand, and Bayati. Okay, let's now talk about the tajweed of these two surahs. At the beginning of Surah Al-Duha, we have the Wal-Duha, the Laud. Laud is a letter of isti'la. Yes. It has to be pronounced with tafkhim.
Thickness.
With thickness. Wal-Duha, Duha. We don't say Wal-Duha, okay, without tafkhim. We have to make sure that we apply the tafkhim to this letter, which is Laud.
That means that actually the root of the tongue is raised.
Is raised, yes, while pronouncing this letter. A lot could be said about this letter, the letter Laud. It's said that Arabic, the Arabic language, is the language of Laud, because in no other language you have this letter with this place of articulation and with this sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Such a manner of articulation.
Yes. And it's a very difficult letter to pronounce, even for Arabs themselves. And some Arabs, you know, different Arabs pronounce this letter differently. Okay. For example, some of them pronounce it like a law. Okay. Some of them pronounce it like a thaw, even. Some pronounce it like a dal, which has tafkhim. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, the rules of tajweed, according to Ibn Jazari, Laut is a letter of rakhawa. It's not a letter of shidda.
Yes.
Okay, so
it's not a plosive, actually.
It's not a plosive. But we hear that most reciters, they pronounce Laut in such a way as if it's a plosive. That is why that tajweed experts today say that if you pronounce laud like a dal which has tafkhim, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because most reciters pronounce it like this.
We can say it's a kind of common mistake.
Yes. But it's an acceptable mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you want it to be more correct, you have to place the side of the tongue, either the left side or the right side, to the adjacent upper molar and wisdom teeth. And at the same time, you have to make the tongue, we have istitala. The tongue stretches from the back of the teeth to the tip of the tongue and slightly touches the place of articulation of dal. And this is the meaning of istitala, the stretching of laud. And this stretching sound is what makes it a letter of rakhawa. Because if you stretch laud, automatically the timing is going to be just like the letters of...
Letters of rakhawa.
Yes.
Or fricatives, actually, better to say.
Yeah, the fricatives. The weak fricatives. Okay. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Now, in this verse, everything is, all the letters are letters of istifal, and they're pronounced with tarqiq. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. The ra and the qaf are pronounced with tafkhim. The ra is pronounced with tafkhim because it has a fatha. And the qaf is pronounced with tafkhim because it's a letter of isti'la. Letters of isti'la have to always be pronounced with tafkhim.
That's right.
But they have different levels. We've said this before as well. We said that letters of isti'la, the level of their tafkhim is determined by
the haraka.
The haraka or sukoon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you know, sukoon is also
something which
it
matters.
It affects the tafkhim of letters of isti'la. But here we have a fatha, so we have the second highest level of tafkhim. The first highest level of tafkhim, or actually the highest level of tafkhim, is whenever you have an alif ul mad. Okay,
that's right.
We have the highest level of tafkhim in verse 7 of this surah. Wa wajadaka dhallan fahada. Law. The Lord has the highest level of tafkhim because there is an alif ul mad after it.
Yeah, and in this word, there's a kind of mad thing.
Yes, there's a mad to lazim in this word. Thank you for mentioning it. And then we have mad to muttasil in verse 8 and also in verse 10. عائلاً وأما السائلة سائلة and عائلاً. These two are madul muttasil because the hamza and the alif ul mad are in the same word.
So we have a conjunct mad.
We have a conjunct mad.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نوبنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك.
Brothers and sisters, previously, we started discussing the part of this divine Kumail supplication. Where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Allahumma wa as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatu. O Allah, I ask you with the asking of one whose indigence is extreme. Wa anzala bika 'inda ash-shada'idi hajatah. I ask you with the asking of the one who has stated to you in difficulties his needs. وَعَظُمَ فِيمَا عِنْدَكَ رَغْبَتُ. I ask you with the asking of the one whose craving for what is with you has become intense. The question we were trying to deal with was the fact that what is with the Almighty Allah, which every servant can benefit from? What is with the Almighty Allah that Imam Ali alayhi salam, completely aware of this that is with the Almighty Allah, he put his face to the ground and states humbly, my craving of what is with you is intense. We said that only one aspect of what is with the Almighty Allah is the bounties and mercies of the Almighty Allah, and also the great rewards, the different kinds of rewards stated in the Holy Quran, and also the traditions for the deeds of the believers. We also talked about paradise, about which Imam Baqir alayhi salam has stated, عَشْرٌ مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهِنَّ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. There are 10 things with which anyone who meets Almighty Allah would enter paradise. شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Testifying that there is no deity but Allah, and that Muhammad is his prophet. وَالْإِقْرَارُ بِمَا جَاءَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And that he has brought Qur'an from Allah. وَإِقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءُ الزَّكَاةِ. And establishing prayers, paying zakat. وَصَوْمُ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ وَحِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. Fasting in Ramadan month, Hajj. وَالْوِلَايَةُ لِأَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ. وَاجْتِنَابُ كُلِّ مُسْكِرٍ. Befriending Almighty Allah's friends, hating his enemies, and at the end, avoiding anything intoxicant. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Quran and traditions have extensively talked about Almighty Allah's mercy towards his servants. They have always invited everyone to obtain his mercy by resorting to different things like belief, like having good deeds, piety, charity, and also repentance from sins. They invite you to reach and obtain the mercy of the Almighty Allah, even if you have had sinful acts.
Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues. There is no God but you, glory and praise be to you. I have oppressed my own soul, I had the audacity to sin by my ignorance. I have relied upon my ancient remembrance of you and your grace towards me. O Allah, my Lord, how many of my ugly deeds have you concealed?
How many of my grievous afflictions have you abolished? And how many stumblings of mine have you prevented? How many of my detestable acts have you averted? And how many of my undeserving praises have you spread abroad?
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
فأما الذين آمنوا بالله واعتصموا به فسيدخلهم في رحمة منه. As for those who believe in Allah and hold fast by Him, He will cause them to enter into His mercy. So, another aspect that needs to be discussed regarding what is with the Almighty Allah that the believers need to be aware of is the mercy of the Almighty Allah. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. In this very interesting verse of the Holy Quran, it states, "And when those who believe in our signs come to you, say, 'Peace be upon you,' this is the first thing that the Prophet is told to tell those who believe in Quran, 'Salamun alaykum,' and then, 'Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi ar-rahma,' your Lord is the Lord of all encompassing mercy. He has necessitated for himself to have mercy upon you." This is how the Prophet sallallahu is ordered to introduce this kind of religion. This is how he is ordered to introduce the Almighty Allah. And he himself says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy encompasses all things. In fact, you may remember, as we started discussing this divine Kumail supplication, we dealt with the part where Imam Ali alayhi salam said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ الَّتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And we discussed sufficiently different aspects of the mercy of the Almighty Allah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
Imam Khomeini's viewpoint on condition of leadership, the model of leadership. In the early days of Islam, the ideal Islamic government ruled twice. First, at the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. And secondly, when Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, governed in Kufa. They were the only two examples that the immaterial values dominated. In other words, they were government of justice in which the rulers had never violated the law. During those two periods, a government of law was in control, and perhaps we will never find another government of law with such qualities all over the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. With the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the self-building and combat with the self. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has mentioned that we cannot reform our country unless we first reform ourselves. Now, in this part of his speech, obviously, Imam Khomeini has mentioned a very important point that if we want to reform our country, we must start from ourselves. Generally, people take decisions or make decisions about the reformation of the country. They apply the rules and laws, but they do not live according to those rules and laws. The important point is that the lawmaker should apply the law to himself first, and when he practically does so, then he can make law. The issue that we are facing today in the world is that people who are making law, they sit there, they talk to each other, they bring their arguments, and they try to make a law, a new law, bring a new law, so that from now onwards, or maybe when it is been approved, from that date onwards, people and they should live according to those laws. Whereas this is not the way how Islam works. Islam says that you must reform yourselves first. When you practically do something, then you need to bring this to the social life. When these scholars, they want